Hey, bats, kiddos, Joker here, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a very special The Falcon and the Winter Soldier edition of the BCP. Check out the pops. I got them right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I've assembled my greatest Avenger team for today to talk about this six-episode series. Was it six or was it eight?
Six.
It was six. So I really enjoyed it. You know, we did WandaVision here before. So first, got to introduce the panel. Please welcome back to the show. You know him as a BCP OG member. He is a director, editor, 3D printer, and cosplayer. My good friend, my older brother, Mr. Jeff Masella. Jazzy, what's up, bro? How are
you, man? Thank you for having me.
Dude, it's awesome to have you. We're not doing wrestling for once. It's long overdue. It's good to see your face. And Deadpool and Thanos in the background as well.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. for those listening to the audio version, Deadpool is booping Thanos on the nose, much like Chris Statlander. But Jeff, always a pleasure to see you. Thank you for a few minutes of your time. And please welcome back to the show. You know him as the host of Toy Talk on YouTube. And more importantly, the handsome drummer from Cult of She. He kind of looks like Bucky Barnes today. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Joe Scarpino. Joe, what's up, bro? How are you?
Hey, man. I'm good, man. I'm excited. I guess this is on audio, but for the video users, this is the Winter Soldier jacket. I had to put it on for you, so I'm excited to be talking about Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Looks good, man. Be careful you don't rip it when you flex, all right, man?
Yeah. All right. Too much credit. You give me too much credit.
No, stop it. But guys, thank you so much for joining me for a few minutes. You know, I thought WandaVision was great. I thought it was just very unique and different and not what anyone expected, so I appreciated the brilliance of that. This one I kind of thought was going to be like the buddy cop thing going into it, but I really enjoyed what they brought to the table. This was very action-based. They kind of hit some real-life topics, which I wasn't expecting. Mm. And it was really good. So I'm going to rewind a little bit. And I want to ask you guys this. And this is taking it back to the end of Endgame. Obviously, that arc with Steve Rogers. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen Endgame. Spoiler alert for the series as well. Steve obviously ends up with Peggy. I think his arc is full circle. I would love to see him back. I'd love to see Chris Evans back and all that, but I just think it's perfect. Like, leave it alone. You know, we'd all pop for a return. But that being said, the big, not necessarily controversy, the big, polarizing, I guess, thing was, would Bucky get the shield like in the comics, or would Falcon get the shield? Now, I was all for Falcon getting the shield. Falcon's been one of my favorites in the movie universe specifically. I think his character could emote a little bit more for that scene when Steve gave him the shield, whereas Bucky, who I like, makes an awesome villain and doesn't really get to emote that much until this series. So for me, I love that Steve gave Falcon the shield, man. I thought it was a great moment. Two very good actors. It was just a great scene. I'll throw it to you first, Joe. Did you have any issue with it going to Falcon first, or because I know Winter Soldier's your guy?
So I mean, initially, I think I had the reaction that a lot of people did, and it was just kind of like, well, that's not in the comics. But you kind of, I think, have to get over the fact, like, this is its own thing. This is its own, and the Marvel Cinematic Universe is its own thing. So, yeah, I did, because I'm a big fan of Bucky's costume in the comics when he accepts the Cap shield. I thought that was the natural transition. But for the sake of the MCU, how you see Steve interact with Sam, and there's that line, and I'm probably going to screw it up, but I think it's said in the first Captain America how, like, you know, he might not be a perfect soldier, but he's a good man, you know, and Sam is clearly that good man. He has that archetype like Steve had, and Bucky's still a very conflicted character. I think now that, you know, we saw it play out in the show, it was the right decision for Steve to give Sam that shield, you know, for him to play out the character. So I got over that pretty quick on the first interaction. You know, you start to see with Steve and Sam in the action on Civil War and stuff.
Yeah, and you even see Bucky give him kind of that nod, like, go ahead.
Yeah, go talk to Steve. He accepted kind of like himself.
his approving nature right there. So that was interesting to see. I'll throw it to Jeff on my left. What do you got, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I always hated it. I didn't want Sam to get the shield. Not that I didn't like Sam or the Falcon. It was, I just thought he was really vanilla, and I really liked the relationship between Bucky and Steve, because to me it was like always, I always heard that line in my head, to the end of the line. And that was the end of the line, you know, and I just felt like that Bucky really should have gotten the shield. And I really wanted mostly to see the character arc of him wrestling with his past and also being Captain America at the same time, and feeling like he wasn't good enough as that storyline was going on. I thought that would have been really interesting. But up to this point, when I saw this show, again, I was against it, but now I'm okay with it. I'm comfortable with the Falcon having the shield and being Captain America.
Yeah, I got you, man. Yeah, it's really interesting. And with the, you know, Marvel Cinematic Universe, the casting's amazing. I really love Endgame, man. I think just, you think about just planning over a long period of time, like a lot of pieces fell into place real nicely, and I appreciate that. But there's so many characters, it's hard to give everyone, like Jeff is saying, like, you know, give Bucky kind of that story arc there, man. Like, it's so hard. And this, let's start with Bucky right here, as we're going to kind of do a character analysis here. I think that's the best way to do it. Let's start with Bucky. I'm not the biggest fan of Bucky in the movies, because I feel he's a great villain. Obviously, you know, he was controlled for a lot of it. The most you've seen of like the old Bucky, or the real Bucky, with and his relationship with Steve, was in the first, obviously, Captain America, the first Avenger movie. Mm-hmm. But it almost annoyed me how loyal, and I'm all about loyalty, but like how loyal Steve was, almost like that blind loyalty to Bucky, like in Civil War and stuff like that. And at the same time, it was like that hateful respect we always talk about, right? Like, mm-hmm. It drove me nuts, like how loyal he was to him. But you know, at the end of the day, it's like Jeff said, at the end of the line. So it made for a really interesting story. But for this series, I was thinking two things, especially at the beginning when Sam gave up the shield, which is something we'll get into next. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, is this how they kind of flip it to Bucky getting the shield, which I didn't want? And then are we going to get to see Bucky emote and Bucky develop, which we did? And this was kind of the development of him getting a redemption arc and things of that nature. Joe, I'll throw it to you first, man. What did you think about like Bucky's arc overall in this series?
So I'm a fan of the character, but like, I want to see him still be fleshed out a little more. I still feel like there's a part of me that still feels like he hasn't gotten his moment of like justice, his redemption. You know, we keep throwing it back. Obviously I think people watching this have probably seen the series now. You know, you keep going back to his Hydra moments, to his moments of mind control, to his bad side. And obviously he's wrestling with that. He spent some time in Wakanda, you know, getting his mind together, getting straight. You know, they helped him out. I think Shuri and stuff helped, and Aura helped him with the mind control. But like, I don't feel, you know, actions speak louder than words. Like, and this is a very visual medium. So we have to see him, you know, go through that and play through that a little more. And I felt like he got his butt kicked a little bit in this series, a little bit too much. And I don't know if that's, you know, the character struggling with like, I used to kill people, I don't want to kill people, where's the happy medium of me, you know, putting my fist through their face and me, you know, choking them out. You know, like he might be struggling with that, but like, I really would like to see him be utilized a little bit more in his capacity of the hero, and recover from that full arc. I feel like we haven't seen that yet. And, you know, it was a really cool thing at the end of the series. It doesn't say Falcon and Winter Soldier, it says Captain America and Winter Soldier. But I felt like it would have been cool if it said like Captain America and, you know, Bucky Barnes or something, like have his transition or start his transition or have something. It's like, I don't know. I feel like we haven't seen that yet. We've been teased enough. You know, he's held the shield a couple times. Remember when in Winter Soldier, Steve throws it and he catches it and he's holding it, and you're like, that's that oh shit moment. Like, oh man, yeah. You know, like I feel like we have to see Bucky wield the shield for a short stint. Maybe that can be in their What If series that they're doing, or, you know, obviously we're going into the multiverse thing, but there's a little dissatisfaction with the Bucky Barnes character with me.
I get it. And I can see you're invested. And it's like me with Wolverine. You know, there were some missteps in the movie universe. I think Huge Jackman, as Jeff calls him, is phenomenal. But I get it.
That's like, what I'm call so, him.
Yeah. It's so, I'm just so invested in that character. Like, I want to see everything done right and, you know, true to the comics, but it's not always that way. And we respect it because the MCU is doing so many great things, but I can see how much you care about the character. And at the same time, it keeps you very invested. So we'll see what happens with Bucky moving forward. For me personally, I'm more invested in Bucky than I was in the past. Jeff, your thoughts on Winter Soldier?
Yeah, I mean, I always had a problem with his story arc because Winter Soldier was my favorite movie for years until Endgame. It was my number one Marvel movie. And I just thought it was such a well-grounded movie. And the villain was great because of the emotional connection with the protagonist. And that was something that I wanted to see play out more as time went on. And I really hated that they kind of just turned him into a Frankenstein and just sent him to Wakanda. And they were like, go on vacation for a while. And coming into this, I wanted to see, like Joe said, a little bit more of a redemption. I guess his storyline in this is more of like an emotional redemption. But even at that, I wanted to see the last scene where he goes back to, you know, say his apologies and whatnot. I wanted to see that scene play out more.
Yes.
I feel like they closed the door and then that was it. And I was like, I wanted some more emotion like they did with Isaiah, like towards the end. And like, I think they're going to give more to him going into the future because of the success of this show. But like I said, as Joe said, like there needs to be more. Like, and it is a visual medium and I want to see him, you know, out there kicking butt in like an actual superhero costume, even though I like the black arm. I think that is badass.
It is cool.
But, but just being out there like, and having a mission, knowing what he wants in life, because his existence has always been like about confusion. And I want to see him like get out there and be like, this is what I stand for. This is what I want to do. So.
Yeah, maybe he'll find that eventually. And they did a lot of interesting things with him. And Jeff, you hit it right on the head. That scene at the end, man, I was just like, I want to see this. Like they did like the little musical score, gonna need a montage, right? But like, it just kind of happened and it was done well, but I wanted to see him again emote a little bit more, but they did some cool stuff with Bucky. I kind of liked like the fail safe they did with his arm. Like
that was funny.
Know, when kind of there's boom, 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 like, and his arm comes off. I'm just like, brilliant. I popped for that, man. I thought that was brilliant, but they did
Dude,
a great
when they did that. I wanted to see him pick up the arm and just start hitting people with his other arm, like just swinging it around.
Right. That would have been awesome. And we can't deny the action in this was phenomenal. From just the shield and Falcon wielding the shield, Falcon using the shield, you know, his wings as a shield rather. There was just so many cool
on the
like
bridge. That was
so badass.
The barrel roll. So, I mean, I knew this was going to be kind of an action first thing, but what I didn't expect was all these kind of real life issues that the show kind of tackled, which I was pleasantly surprised to see. And again, like I really like Sam for a lot of reasons, man, not just because he's one of my favorite characters, but like we talk about loyalty. Like he was kind of like ride or die for Steve, like Peggy's funeral. Like they didn't make a whole scene out of it, but Cap's in like, you know, the pews and, you know, Sam sitting right next to him. You know, when they shoot at you, you know, what are we doing? When they shoot at you, they usually shoot at me, you know, on your left. Like, it wasn't like a bromance, but like they, I mean, ride or die, man. Like they were close and they were very similar in a lot of ways. And I'm not saying that's the reason Sam should get the shield, but I was so glad that he did. And I was so bummed at the beginning of the series. Like, obviously we need to make a story arc and a plot here, but he gives it to the museum. He doesn't give it up, but he kind of does. He gives it to the museum. Yeah. And I was just like, no. And you could see him struggling. And, you know, that's not necessarily what Steve wanted. And, you know, I get it. It's a big responsibility. And he takes it very seriously. Steve was his guy. You know, we saw reference to that notebook. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I really like Sam. And at the end of the day, man, I know I'm fast forwarding a lot here, but for him to embrace the helm of being Captain America and then having kind of that speech at the end, be like, look, you know, think what you want to think. I'm Captain America. We need to do things right here. And people started referring to him as Cap at the end. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool. I like Sam a lot. I'm all for it. I want to get the Pop Funko that came out with him as the Captain. These things are so addicting, man.
Yeah. In the Legends series, they got the Build-A-Figure that he's the Build-A-Figure when you get them all.
Don't tell me that. Oh, man.
Yeah, no, that's $120 going.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. It's crazy. But I like the way this ended. Obviously, I was a little nervous that they were going to kind of go back on the decision to give Falcon the shield. And I was like, no, please don't do that. It was really well done. And I liked the chemistry or lack thereof at first with him and Bucky. That kind of, you know, kind of evolved and maybe to a little bromance there. So that was interesting to see. Mm-hmm. Jeff, I'll throw it to you, man. Your thoughts on Sam, you know, obviously, you know, putting down the shield and then picking it back up at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of understood in the beginning why he didn't want to take it, because, I mean, at the end of the day, there's only one Captain America, right? But then I love the way the show, they went a different direction. They started, you know, there's a lot of social commentary there. You know, would a black man in America today want to take up the helm as Captain America? And I thought that that was a really good way to approach it, because not only is it real and grounded, but like it gives her like good drama, and the storyline ended up being so much more deep than I thought it was going to be. And also that suit at the end, it was pretty badass.
I liked it.
I was starting to think towards the end when, well, Wakanda made that suit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Wakanda made that suit. They made Winter Soldier's arm. I wonder if they're putting fail safes in all this stuff. So
probably.
All the Avengers whenever they want to. But
it's going to be the Illuminati storyline, but just Wakanda is the Illuminati.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, you know, I was really happy with him taking the helm, because the storyline made more sense to me. It wasn't just, it was too easy for me that he was just getting the shield and that was it. Like, I feel like there needed to be a struggle there, because Cap was really the driving force of all the older movies. Like, he was the guy. So at the end of the day, I was happy.
Yeah, I think we all were for the most part, man. And again, like, I think Mackie's a phenomenal actor. And I watched something earlier today where he watched Endgame with his son. I don't know if you guys saw that clip. I'm going to share it on Twitter. But when Endgame came out, he watched it with his son. And, you know, they watched the scene where, you know, Steve gives the shield to Anthony Mackie, obviously Falcon. And his son just kind of looks at him in the movie theater. And he's like, he goes, "You're Captain America?" And his dad goes, "Yeah." And I guess fast forward a couple weeks, like, they didn't know how to process. They're having like a bonding moment. They know how to process it. And then he said a couple weeks later, he's talking to his son on the phone. His son's like in tears. And he's like, he goes, "You know what? Like, you know, Dad, you're Captain America." And he's like, "And that's cool." And so Anthony Mackie in a recent interview said, "I don't care what the internet thinks. I don't care what people think. My son said it's cool. So it's cool." Like, come on, man. Like, that's the best, man. I love that. But let's move on to, I'm really interested to hear what you guys think about this one. So I've busted this out, my card collection here. I got X-Men and Marvel and all that old stuff, you know, back in the binder here. Oh, so yeah, I'll have to show it to you, Joe. But so I pulled up U.S. Agent. I think we all kind of saw it going this way. Do we have a description here? U.S. Agent served for a brief time as the substitute Captain America. Strength 4, intelligence 2, fighting ability 6, agility 3, real name John Walker, group affiliation Avengers West Coast. That's old school. So I think we saw it going this way, and people who didn't watch the show were coming up to me and like, "Oh, is he like a bad actor? Like, is he doing terrible?" I'm like, "No, he's doing a great job making us hate him." Someone did like a meme of like joining the actors that make us hate them, like who's the guy in Inglourious Bastards who got the Oscar?
Christoph Waltz.
It was great, but like, he did such a good job, and you knew it was going to go that way. He was, you know, obviously a decorated army whatever rank captain, I guess. And it was really interesting to how well they made us hate him. And you knew they would, but that scene where he had the shield and bashed the guy's head in it and the blood the shield, that was just like, I mean, you hated it, but it was a brilliant freaking scene. And it showed him going over the edge and that struggle to take the serum or not take the serum. He loses his essential, you know, best friend, bromance, whatever you want to call it. I think his hero name was like Battlestar.
Mm-hmm.
Who was almost kind of like his moral compass, I thought, in a lot of ways. We didn't get to see too much of him, but it was like, not to say like I get it, but like, it was a good anti-hero villain origin story, and maybe a redemption arc for him is coming, you know, you know U.S. Agent, but everything's different here in the MCU. I thought it was really well done. I thought it was a phenomenal just performance as an actor. Joe, I'll throw it to you. Your thoughts on Walker.
U.S. Agent, man, I've been waiting for that moment for a while, because I really liked him in a lot of the the books, there's a lot of cool fights between him and Cap. And I thought we were going to see, I think Battlestar joins Silver Sable in the book. She has a crew called like the Wild Bunch or something. I thought that was going to happen. I didn't expect him to die. So that was kind of a whoa moment. But I like him. And I actually really felt, I actually really felt bad for him. There's a moment, I think I said this to you when we were doing the Toy Talk thing, Rob, but there's a moment like he's fighting the Wakandan guard. I can't remember their name right now, but he obviously gets his ass beat and he's on the ground and he's getting picked up and you hear it in his voice. He sounds really like sad. He goes, they weren't even super soldiers. Like the way he said it though, I think Wyatt Russell is the actor's name. The way he said it, I actually had like a moment where I was like, I felt bad. I was like, oh man, I know this guy's kind of a dick, but he's so disappointed in himself.
Hashtag man tears.
Yeah, right. And I was like, oh, he's so disappointed in himself and his performance, and he believes he's doing the right thing for his country, and he's conflicted between, doing the right thing for what you think is your country, which is your government, and then your country, which is the people. And that was a cool dynamic you see with Sam, how Sam acts, who his loyalty ends up falling to ultimately, and then how John Walker acts, where his loyalty ends up falling to ultimately, both bearing the mantle of Captain America at some point. But I think as far as U.S. Agent goes, I think this is going to be a buildup to the Thunderbolts, because we have Zemo in there, or the Masters of Evil or something. It's going to have some conglomeration going on there. We have Lady Hydra now in the form of Julia Louis-Dreyfus, which that was a cool
didn't expect that
curveball thrown in there. So there's something brewing, so I'm excited to see more of him.
I like what you're saying. Very well done. Jeff, your thoughts on Walker and his performance?
I mean, I thought he was great. I kind of was laughing the whole time I was watching the show, because there's just like an interesting juxtaposition between like Cap, who was never really in the military, becoming a super soldier. And he was always like, I don't want to say he had a Napoleon complex, but he was always trying to be a soldier, and he always wanted to be like, he had like this like urge to be like everything that everyone else, said that he could be. And he became Captain America, the ultimate Captain America. But then you have this guy who's been to war, he's been fighting his whole life, and he was a successful soldier, then gets like the serum and gets the helm of Captain America, and he took it a whole different route. Like he didn't do it the way like Cap did, or Cap, it's just like a good interesting juxtaposition between the two of them. But I also didn't like understand why people considered him really bad per se. Like, I don't know, I'm going to use you as an example, Bob. Like, if we were fighting in a battle and someone killed you, I'd go kill those people.
I don't mean to laugh, but...
You know what I mean? Like, the thing is, we were always comparing him to Cap. So we're saying he's a bad guy because, like, he killed someone with a shield and it was really graphic. But if most of us, if someone killed our best friend, we'd probably do the same thing back to them.
Yep.
So in the heat of battle,
I mean, he was kind of in the right. At the moment, I mean, it was kind of brutal, but what he did was, it's a terrorist. You're Captain America. You hunt down terrorists, right? I mean,
exactly. Yes. Yeah, I just thought that like comparison was really funny, because it's just like, it goes to show you, like, no matter who they put in Cap's place, you're not replacing him. It doesn't matter who it is.
No, I get what you're saying though, man. It's like, soldier mentality. He, like you said many times, he's not Steve, and just everyone kind of, with their phones out, capturing that image of him just bashing the guy's head in with the shield. It was just, the PR and human resources on that one, man, is a no-no. So, but that's actually an interesting way to look at it. I get where you're coming from, Jeff. For sure. It's like, I've avenged you so many times, or you've avenged me so many times in Halo, but I digress, because I suck at Halo. It's true. I'm terrible. Let's move on. Let's talk about kind of the other villain. Like, we can talk about Zemo. I thought it was cool to see him. I think Joe kind of hit it on the head. Like, we're going to see more from him. So you guys can touch on Zemo too, if you want. But I want to talk about Carly. I thought it was just kind of interesting, new character. I don't think there was any rendition of Carly in the comics or the lore. Correct me if I'm wrong. I thought it was interesting. And one of my favorite scenes, or one of the most interesting scenes, was when like Sam was really getting through to her, and then Walker comes barging in, and I was like, no. But again, if everyone's friends, you can't really have a battle or a story arc. Mm-hmm. But what did you guys think of Carly? Joe, I'll throw it to you.
So yeah, there was a Flag Smasher singular character, I remember, in the books. And then it was kind of cool how they made it really more relevant, though, with like Flag Smashers, an organization kind of like Antifa or something, you know, like that, like some kind of large group with a singular cause. So I thought that was actually a cool interpretation. But Carly was definitely somebody who, when I saw initially in the trailer, I was like, oh, this is going to be stupid. That was my honest reaction. But as the show went on, they definitely made you kind of almost see her point of view. Like, hey, I had something good and now all these people are back, you know, and it's screwing up my thing. And I got to fight, you know, I got to fight back. I got to build up, you know, take up a cause, which there's a lot to be said about, you know, all these causes going on in the show and how, you know, how you align yourself and what your views are. But I really liked her at the end of the, you know, at the end of the day and at the end of the series, her kind of kicking the crap out of Bucky on the truck was kind of funny, you know, and Sam's making cracks at him. He's like, oh, you got beat by a girl. You know, it's like, you're, you know, super soldier, what are you doing? But I did end up liking her a lot in the organization. And obviously if anybody's seen the end of that show, they're still going to be around too. You know, that's an idea. That's not just a person. So her cause is going to live on. So yeah, I was a fan of her by the end of the series.
Yeah, it's interesting. And villains are always like the hardest part. Like, perfect example, like Wonder Woman, I thought was a fantastic movie, the original, but the villain was eh. And villains are so hard because you kind of have to do an origin story for the heroes and most things. Like this, obviously, you didn't have to because you knew them already. But with villains, you also have to do an origin story kind of for them too. So it's difficult. I get why it's so hard. And then the villain has to be a threat in some form or fashion. So Jeff, I'm interested as a writer, man, like, what did you think of this villain?
I didn't like the character's motivation, but I liked the character, if that makes any sense. I just thought the motivation was weak for me. I kind of got like, all right, you found your home, you found your place, like after Thanos snapped his fingers. But when everyone came back and they wanted to reintegrate them into society, then they become terrorists and they start killing people. I don't know. It's just like, you're not allowed that free shit. Like, it just didn't make sense to me that's the direction they went. But I do like the super soldiers. I like seeing Bucky go up against them. I was a little disappointed in, I like Baron Zemo a lot, but I wanted them to use him more because I felt like he was the stronger villain because I felt like he was always one step ahead. And those are the kind of villains that you want. Like, Loki's always one step ahead. He knows where he's going with his plans. Thanos is pretty much like in your face about it, but he always has a plan. And Baron Zemo had a plan. And I kind of got his plan. Like, he didn't want any of the super soldiers to exist anymore. And it made sense to me. And he was even willing to sacrifice his own freedom to make sure, you know, he stopped them. But I just, the motivation to me was a little weak with the Flag Smashers. And I wish they used Baron Zemo more.
I just like at this point would like to point out that Jeff's favorite is Thanos. He kind of got it with Thanos. He kind of gets it with Walker. He kind of gets it right now with Zemo. I'm a little worried, bro. I'm waiting for that heel turn. I kid.
And Jeff's going to be a villain?
I mean, no, not at all. He's my hero. That's all I know. But I digress. Guys, so let's take it to Sharon Carter, who I really liked it in the movies. I thought was great. Like, obviously, kind of, you know, they had to bench Peggy for, you know, just time reasons. You know, she was an old lady. I obviously, like I said earlier, I love the arc for Steve ending up with her at the end of the day. But, you know, he had that little moment with Sharon. I love that callback, the Easter egg. He's like, oh, you're not going to move your seat up, are you?
Yeah.
You know, that was like those little things. I love that they connect the dots. Marvel is brilliant at that. But they kind of, so when I was watching the earlier episodes, and I kept saying this to Nunez, I was like, she is like that convenient character. Like, even when Wonder Woman, the you know, the villain was the convenient character. I'm like, she's so convenient. She's in the right place at the right time. And she was banished, or she's hiding out to the same place where they are, and she's in the same building at the same time. I'm like, she's super convenient, and stuff like that drives me nuts. I feel like it's lazy. And again, I'm like, I'm glad to see her in the mix, but I thought they could do it better. Sure enough, it turns out, like, you know, this is a long game. This is a plan all along. We kind of see hints of that throughout, like the way she kind of kills people and acts with certain people. She's got her whole power broker thing going on. Some of her dialogue with Carly was a big tip off. And then obviously the end scene at the end of the last episode, the after credits scene, was kind of the big, okay, this is legit kind of thing. I wonder how you guys feel about that. I feel Marvel is so good at the long game. I feel this may have been an audible. It could be really great, but this didn't feel like this was the plan for the character arc all along. Jeff, I'll throw it to you first on this one. Your thoughts on Sharon Carter?
I think she's just butthurt that Cap traveled back in time to be with Peggy instead of her. So she became a villain.
Maybe.
But I think it's good. I do think it's an audible. I agree with you. But it's there in place for something later, especially if they're going to be building up, you know, like that new Hydra team with, what was her name? Valentina. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if they're going to be building that up, she's going to like play a huge role in that later on, you know, to take down the government or, you know, whatever the Avengers name it. But she's good to have there. It's always good to have a mole in place when you're writing a story, because it could flip the story on its side later on. Yeah. But as far as the character, I wasn't really too invested in her to begin with. I honestly, like, I forgot about her for a long time until Civil War. She showed up, was it?
A Winter Soldier? Yeah.
Well, when Nick Fury shows up in the apartment, and I think that's Winter Soldier, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was Winter Soldier, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. And the thing with her was she was like a convenient next door neighbor to Steve. And, you know, once you start finding stuff out, you're like, oh, she's definitely like Hydra. She's definitely with them. She's super convenient. And it turns out she's loyal and she helps him. She's the one that brings Falcon the wings and him the shield in Civil War now. I don't know if I'm crossing over movies or not, but she's super helpful and accommodating to them. And that's another reason I feel this is an audible, because it's just like a complete 180, but story of my life. Joe, let's start with you. Your thoughts on this one.
So she's weird, man. Like you said, she's very convenient. Like, I almost feel like she's Nick Cage in Lord of War. Like, she's just supplying whoever she can, you know. But the true motivation of her dealings is kind of unknown. Like, yeah, you want to think she's loyal to Cap because of Peggy Peggy, right? Peggy Carter was the mother or whatever it was.
The aunt, I think.
Aunt was aunt.
Over there, it's right? So hard to tell.
So you want to think she's a loyalist and, you know, aligns with the Avengers, but you said that convenience there. And my mind was going 100 miles an hour. I'm thinking she's a Skrull, because I know there's a secret invasion thing being set up, and you have the dealings with Talos and Nick Fury's kind of still MIA. But who's she talking to on the phone? Is it, you know, where did she fall in the Sokovia Accords? Is that a General Thunderbolt Ross thing she's talking to? Because he's kind of separated from, who knows what's going on there. So she's definitely that one that they keep her on the back burner because you're going to least suspect her. And then she's going to be that, I think, like Jeff said, like a wild card. You know, she's going to show up and kind of turn everything on its head at some point because you forgot about her. I think that's where it's going. Oh, by the way, wait, Wolverine. Because you like Wolverine. Did you notice, you know where the setting of Madripoor is?
Yeah, nowhere.
There was a bar they focused on. That's where Wolverine went by the alias Patch.
Patch Wolverine. No, yeah. No. There were little things. And I know in one of the, I think it was the second Wolverine movie, there was like, it didn't make the cut. It was like a deleted scene but he opens the drawer and it actually has the brown costume. And orange costume,
yeah.
You know,
the yellow team costume.
Yeah, he never dons it, obviously, but I always thought that was interesting.
Yeah, they cut to a bar. I think it's called like the Ballerina Bar or something, and that's where he's found in the book. I think it's the early 90s. Yeah, books where he's hiding, like he's hiding out there. But the bar they cut to was like Wolverine's go-to place. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's a cool Easter egg. Maybe that means they're going to bring him back to Marvel Universe soon.
Yeah, imagine he's there while this show is going on. And they some like she knows him. I don't know. That's why when she's positioned there, I'm like, there's no way that's Chance. There's absolutely no way that and they cut to that bar specifically. There's something going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very well said. The best cameo in any movie ever was Hugh Jackman. It was X-Men First Class or it was Apocalypse, wherever they were traveling through time. No, I think it was First Class when they tried to recruit him and he says, go F yourself. You know, he's at the bar, takes a shot. Best cameo ever. I popped so big for that. And I always wanted to see, I've said this on every podcast, I always want to see Hugh Jackman and RDJ share a scene together. I just think that would be a great interaction. Obviously, I don't see that happening, but I'd love to see Huge Jackman come back in some form or fashion. As you know, and obviously Deadpool, Jeff, that's your guy, man. There's a lot of rumors that it's all going to come together, which MCU is great.
If he does come back, it's going to be because Ryan Reynolds harasses him back with something.
Yeah, yes, that's exactly what
they have
happening.
A funny dynamic, man.
I would love to see like a kind of another 48 hours type movie, like with Wolverine and Deadpool. I think that'd be hysterical.
That'd be money. There's so many possibilities.
I know.
I love it. And last character I wanted to talk about, if there's anyone else you guys want to talk about or any favorite scenes or anything you want to throw in, please, by all means, jump in. Isaiah, I thought was really interesting. You know, I had no idea that there was an Isaiah and, if you check out Mr. Sunday Movies channel on YouTube, he actually screenshot it and read the monument that they made to him at the end. And it was really informative. It was really well done and kind of talked about him being experimented on and all that stuff going on with the super soldiers and, you know, never getting the credit and being imprisoned and all that kind of stuff. It was really interesting. I don't know if there was an he was in the comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And his grandson is too, Eli, I think is his name.
Oh, okay. But so, right, he was in the comics. But I didn't see this coming for this series. I didn't expect it at all. Even the scene where they're walking to his house and, you know, the kid's like, oh, the Black Falcon and all that stuff. Like, I just thought it was so really well done, man. And you know, they address a lot of issues and I loved it. And then, you know, Sam, no matter how many times Isaiah kind of pushed him away, he really did everything he could to do things the right way and do right by Isaiah. And at the end of the day, get him the honor that he deserves. So I thought that was like a really, that was kind of like the heart of it, besides like the struggle of whether to be Captain America or who gets the shield and all that stuff. I thought that really, really was the heart of it. So I thought that was really well done. And I thought Isaiah was really a key player. Jeff, your thoughts on that character?
I mean, I love the character. It really made me think twice about, you know, Falcon taking the helm. And that's the great part. Like, and that's the good writing of the show was that, you know, even you were feeling it. You were feeling like the conflict that he was having within. And, you know, at first it was like, it's multi-layered. At first it was because he didn't feel like anyone could replace Cap. And then it became about like social commentary. And like, does he feel like it's right for him even to be Cap because of what's going on in the world? And I thought that was a fantastic way to write that in. And I really felt like the plight that Isaiah went through in his life. And honestly, it made me, at one point, I was like, honestly, I don't even think if Falcon should be capped now. Maybe he should become his own thing. Hmm. And that's how well it was written. And at the end, when he like went to the memorial, I was kind of, there was a small part of me, I was really happy how dramatic and I got the feels during that scene. But there was a part of me that really hoped he was like, man, fuck your memorial, and just walked away. Because that would have been hysterical. But again, that character, I thought that character, in my opinion, was, outside of the main characters, the most important character in the show, because it drove everything in a different direction, like emotionally.
Very well said. Joe, your thoughts on Isaiah?
Yeah, so Isaiah Bradley is super important. And they did a good job of that with bringing in his character without it feeling, I felt like, super shoehorned, because I feel like a lot of shows now always try to have some sort of appeal because there's some kind of mandate or something, you know, but like this is the organic arc and a very relevant today arc with, you know, racial issues and, you know, how people are feeling. And I think they really touched on that in a very relevant and sympathetic fashion. Like, hey, you know, the past is the past. There are definitely mistakes made. We need to acknowledge those, but as a country, we can move forward. And Sam Wilson single-handedly in this show kind of takes up that mantle, acknowledges it, and he's like, we can do better. That was something he said a couple times. We can do better. We can do better. And that, that I felt was a really good and poignant piece. And that speech he gave at the end, that was a powerful speech. You know, and they let him go with that for a reason. The writers put that in there for a reason, because it resounds, you know, it today, you know, this is something I think as big of an audience, fortunately, as the show had, needs to hear. And it's something that is something we should maybe carry with us, you know, as an audience and in our hearts and as a people, you know, like, let's do better. And not to go all nerdy, but like switching from something so dramatic, but like so his grandson is, I think his name's Eli. I think I'm pretty sure it's Eli Bradley. He later becomes Patriot.
Okay.
Or the Young Avengers. And so I'm thinking, and so we have in WandaVision, we have, was it Wiccan? I think it is. And Speed, who are also two members of the Young Avengers. And then we're going to have, presumably we're going to have young Loki in the Loki series. And then we have Eli Bradley. So they're definitely building, this is the long game you were talking about. They're definitely building something to come very soon. And I think that it's going to be a really cool, cool culmination of events we're going to see.
Very well said, man. And Marvel's great at that. When's Loki starting up again? It's a couple weeks, right?
I think it's soon. It's really soon. I think they only had maybe a two week gap between this and Loki. I could be wrong, or maybe it's June. I don't know. I thought it was really quick.
Well, I'm stoked. I love that they're doing this, man. We get deeper. Like, I was actually a big fan of S.H.I.E.L.D., which had moments of brilliance, especially around Winter Soldier, the way everything intertwined. I watched everything in the right order. And I'm like, this changes everything. And characters you knew all along turned, and it was great. But there's some great actors in that. But, you know, that show fell flat a lot of times. And, you know, it ran too long and a lot of stuff. Like, the finale was but there was just moments of brilliance in that show. But I'm glad that there's more Marvel shows, like even the Netflix shows. There's rumors of Daredevil, the actor who played Daredevil, coming back, all that kind of stuff. So it's very exciting, man. It's always fun when these worlds collide. Marvel does a great job of that, and I'm super excited to just see what the future holds. Maybe a season two of this show. We'll see what happens, but I think we all have smiles on our faces at the end of the day, and we all just love to get more of our favorite heroes. And I know you guys want to see what happens with Sam, and more so I know you guys love Winter Soldier, so you want to see what happens with him moving forward. But guys, before we get out of here, and thank you for your time, we're all about the shameless promo here on the BCP. Joe, tell everyone about your great band. Tell everyone about Toy Talk, all that good stuff.
Oh, man. So I play drums in a band formerly known as Roulette for about 11 years. We did a little bit of rebranding, changed sound direction. It's now Cult of She. Cult is spelled 2 T's. So I'm the drummer for them. Please check us out. We just put out a new album. And I also started up a show on YouTube recently that Mr. Crowther over here was on, called Toy Talk, on my channel, which is just search Joseph Scarpino. It comes up. And it's simply talking about toys, think ones that make you happy, that you have good memories with. We want to talk about, you know, positivity and maybe some you know, good associations you have with specific toys that you helped. Help kind of form your identity and just have good experiences with. So if you would be so kind as to check that out as well.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Everyone check that out. Jeff, I don't know if you still have some of your old toys, bro, but everyone, obviously, what do you got?
I have these. I collect Hot Toys now.
I can't see the Thanos. Oh, there it is.
So
I mentioned that the Hot Toys are ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Nice. So this one's the Mandalorian, Beskar Mando. With it comes with 2 Grogu's. I was really surprised.
I know how much that costs.
A lot. But Jeff, tell everyone where they can follow you on Instagram. I know you do some great cosplaying, and Jeff also 3D prints some really cool stuff. I saw, like, you made like the Mando helmet and all.
Oh, actually, I could show it. I have one right
here. Yeah, of course, man.
Oh, I need to have a conversation with Jeff about this, a new arm.
Yeah, please do. I'll put you
see how much he costs.
Well, this is my final. This is after 3D printing, and then what's it called? I'm screwing it up.
Hold it closer to where your face is, because Thanos is snapping it out.
Thanos is destroying it.
Oh, there it is. That's good. There it is. That looks awesome, bro.
Yeah, so this is after 3D printing and then doing a silicone mold and then doing resin cast. But I have been through so many versions, and this is, I finally got it right.
All right, I'm going to find you on Instagram right now.
Where can everyone follow you on Instagram, Jeff?
It's Wades, W-A-D-E-S underscore bub, B-U-B.
All right, I'm just going to send you a blank check. You let me know how much it is for a soul draw.
Love it. Good deal. See, we're already making friends here. And guys, shameless promo. Joe, first of all, thanks. This is yours, buddy. Thank you for bidding on this.
Thank you.
Already have gone to Feeding America. It's already up there on the site, man. This is for a great cause. We were talking about this literally on your episode of the show.
That was so weird.
Someone donated it. At the wrestling show, I was doing commentary at one of the owners of TCW. Shout out to Anthony Guerrero. Gave me a box of cool stuff. So I auctioned this. I was really hoping that you'd win, Joe. I'm glad you came out on top, bro. I'll give it to you the next time I see you, bro. Or I could ship it, whatever you want, bro.
Is that a Rowdy Roddy Piper Ninja Turtle?
Michelangelo. Yeah, very, very unique piece. That's amazing. Right there. Yeah.
They did a whole series like that. So I literally, when I did, he came on my show, I literally mentioned that because I thought like that's the toy he would have. And then it shows up the next day.
That it's crazy, wow, man. So I'm glad it was meant to be. Yeah, right. It's meant to be. But shameless promo before we get out of here for me. Tom's River Toy Show. I'm very excited to go to this. It's this Sunday, 8 o'clock. You can get in for $10 early bird. Otherwise, 9 a.m. You can get in for $6 admission. Kids 12 and under are free. It's the Tom's River Toy and Collectibles Show. Headlining guest will be Mr. Jerry the King Lawler. You know him from Man on the Moon. You know him from Monday Night Raw, legendary WWE Hall of Famer. Let's try to get an interview. I hope to talk to him. We have some NXT prospects that are going to be there. We have the Goddesses of War, Riley Shepard, the Vivacious Vicious Vicky, who will probably be critiquing me on my wardrobe, and the Gift of Fab herself, Miss Gabby Ortiz, will be there as well. So I'm very excited because I have not been to a con in probably almost 2 years, which is crazy with everything going on. I'm very excited to just get out there. I'm hoping to see some cosplayers and a lot of toys. So everyone get out there. That's in Toms River, New Jersey. Obviously, you know, CDC guidelines will be followed, wear a mask, all that good stuff. And yeah, that's all the shameless promo. Guys, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. And like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We out. Peace.
Peace.